I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
What we need to do is we need to appreciate what we have right now. Now, this young son isn't there yet. He's just got a little wild hair, and he's thinking, well, you got to give me what's coming to me. Think about that. That's like wrenching out of the hand of his father, his portion. He doesn't say he's leaving, but as soon as he gets everything, the Bible says, in not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Very abridged, a lot of history here, right? A lot happened in that one verse. But it's interesting because when you think about grace and you think about what Jesus has done in providing for us, this amazing salvation, it's complete. He's the author, perfecter, author and finisher of our faith. That's who Jesus is. He's the one who, before the founding of the world, conjured the idea and said, this is how it's going to be. He's the one who unfolds everything for you and for me. And he's the one who makes it possible for us to stand before God at all. He's the one that makes us to be accepted. Ephesians 1 says we are accepted in the Beloved. That's how we're accepted, through Jesus. And I say to you that this is like totally counterintuitive to the average parent. You just don't give the kids a third of their inheritance. Let's start with a 16-year-old, which in years past maybe could have handled some of this, but let's put it back years ago where it's not like the 16-year-old of our day. Just a younger kid. You're giving him all that he has coming to him, inheritance. What's he going to do? He's going to mess up. Now listen, Jesus gave us everything. It's a mystery what God has revealed. Ephesians actually lays it out. He says, the mystery has been revealed to you. That's part of how grace abounds. That God told you outright that you can be saved by Jesus Christ and therefore be able to stand before God holy and without blame. And I don't care how long you've been living for Jesus, you're never going to feel like that is true. You may be loving on Jesus, you may be following Jesus, you may be reading your Bible, but what is funny about what happens when you get on the journey of trying to go with, you know, okay, he said it's true and I'm going to be that, is that you begin to be harder on yourself because you realize you didn't. Because people who try not to sin are people who feel the pangs of sin. In theology classes, they used to talk about, could Jesus have sinned? And the professors would inevitably turn it around and say, well, you're asking the question as if that is an ability. And it's not an ability. It's a disability. Sin is a limp. Sin is a hitch. And he's perfect. But he was tested just like you test metal. Everything came against him. He had a male human body. He had the ruminations that were all around him that came with the nature of being a fleshly creature. Hunger pains, weariness, fatigue, tiredness, anger. You know, all of those emotions couched in flesh. And he understands. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so when you see this younger son getting all of this information, as it were, laid on the table, everything's yours, everything's good for you, you're dead to sin, you're free from sin, and the only way you can understand those terms is by remembering what you were before salvation. You were dead to God. You were dead in sins and trespasses, which means all that you ever did was disqualified, and all that you ever did before you came to salvation was an affront and an offense and a rebellious act in God's sight. Because until you came to know God, you were actually the bull in the china shop, hurting your parents, hurting your brothers and your sisters, but God says you're okay. And just like you were dead in sin, and now you're dead to sin, that means no matter what happens, nothing can affect you. You're basically in a perfect bubble. You say, well, man, I like that, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the Bible answers that in Galatians chapter 5. It says that because you're led by the Spirit, you cannot do the things you want to do. Sometimes you want to do something, but there's a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit. So as you do something wrong, it grieves you. When it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit because it grieves you. You do something that grieves you, that same thing is grieving the Holy Spirit because he's in you. If you do something to quench the Holy Spirit, you're quenching you. And so what I'm saying is, as you see this younger son, he's coming as a libertine. Give me all. You must give me all because everything else didn't work. And we tried the miracles. We tried the disciplines. We tried the law. We tried everything. None of that's going to work. What's going to work is the goodness of God. Do you not know that the goodness of God is what leads to repentance, Romans says? Repentance is only mentioned two times in the book of Romans, and one is that. It says, know ye not that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. A changing of your mind. And then the other is, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Those are the only two places repentance are mentioned in the book of Romans. You say, what difference does it matter what book? Well, Romans is all about salvation. If the issue of your salvation had to do with you turning your life around, then it certainly would have been drilled into deliberately, powerfully, in the book of Romans. I go back to this passage. He says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. Now, I would circle the word his, because you've got one and I've got one. We've all got a journey. I don't know how yours is going, but I hope it's going okay. I want to identify with you a little bit. I want you to know it's okay if you've gone a few steps forward, a few steps backward. Just keep going forward. Just keep getting up. Keep getting up. That's what it is. If there's any redeeming factor in the modern games of our day, I think kids play on those video games, it's that they get to respawn somewhere and get back in the game. You can get back in the game. Okay? You need to know you can get up every morning. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. You need to know that. And that's a doctrine you need to know. It's not just a nice idea. It's not just a part of a song. No, this is truth. His mercies are new every morning for you. And you need to keep going forward because you're still struggling perhaps to break the crest of the water and breathe because you're not resting. Hebrews says, strive ye to enter into His rest, because the person who's rested is the person who has ceased from his own works. It's not about your works. And if I tell you that at the front door, I know. You think, well, I'll be a libertine. I'll go do what I want to do. That's not the proper answer. But that is an answer that sometimes is given in response. The problem is many times people get, you know, a lot of bumps, bruises, and wounds that will affect them for the rest of their lives. But that doesn't mean they can't, you know, weep through their worship, okay? You know, I'm limping, I'm worshiping as Jacob did, leaning on a staff. You know, he worshiped as an older man, leaning on a staff because his hip had been put out. He had wrestled with God. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulty. And you can make it as simple or as complicated as you want. But if you truly meant business with God, He is working in everything, to get you on your feet. And if you really kind of set your jaw somewhere because something bumps you and you just say, I'll not have any more of it, well, then you find yourself in a disciplinary position you really don't want to be in. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews. There remains nothing, therefore, but a certain fearful looking for a fiery indignation and judgment. Did you hear that? Once you get into a place where you push back on God so much, you know enough about God, and the Spirit's saying, wait a minute, you want to go around that corner? Because you're thinking a piano's going to fall out of the sky, you know, like they do in the cartoons. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. You don't have anywhere to go, is what He's saying. He's not saying you can't be saved. Because look how it says. It says, but a certain fearful looking for around every corner, because you know your father's going to come and get you and give you a whooping. So, a certain fearful looking for a fiery indignation and judgment, which will devour, not us, the adversary. That's what's important. Read the whole passage. Don't take a couple words. It's not going to get us. It's going to devour the adversary. He says, but we're convinced of better things in you. If you're truly born again, yeah, you're going to have moments of not being lucid about what's right and wrong. But this is our journey. What's your journey doing? He says, not many days after, because it doesn't take long when a person realizes they're saved and God's going to keep them, that they start testing the boundaries. And after they tested the boundaries and got away with a little sin, pretty soon they're out there in the field looking around saying, man, I'm outside the fence. And they begin to walk outside the fence like in Pilgrim's Progress. And next thing you know, they're in Giant Despair's castle. Remember that? It's a beautiful picture. Makes sense. It communicates. It's the picture. Believers can't go on in sin. Why? Because they'll be miserable. Now, he that is born of God cannot continue in sin. 1 John. Why? Because you'll be miserable. If you continue to push that envelope, you'll get more miserable. And it ends in chapter 5 of 1 John about a sin unto death.
that can actually occur. No, he says this man, after he got his inheritance, gathered all together and took his journey. And he took his journey into a far country. Interestingly enough, the idea before us is very profound, because if you think about it, we're told very clearly in 1 John chapter 5 that we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The idea is being in the lap of the wicked one, like a baby being kind of rocked to sleep. And this is what you're seeing here. He says he went into a far country. Do you know the far country is the devil's country? This is the world. The devil is the god of this world. He usurped it from man who had dominion. He usurped it in the garden, and ever since then he's been having a party until the cross. And at the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. He rendered him, really, in all practical purposes, idle as far as a believer who's got his eyes in his head is concerned. The Bible says that Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroyed literally means render it idle. In other words, it's like Han Solo in Star Wars, where he was in carbonite. And it's just one of those things that we're all familiar with in our culture. But I say to you, it's just like that. The devil's kind of been rendered idle, if we see it for what it is. The Bible says in Colossians 2, Jesus, through the cross, disarmed the principalities and powers. He took away all of their tools. He defanged them and declawed them, one said. So now all they've got is lies, and lies can control you. If you believe a lie, it will control you. And so what this young man is, he's on his journey and he's listening to his way. And the Bible tells us deliberately don't do that. You know, everything people say today is, hey, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Last thing you ought to do is follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? No, the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He will make your way smooth, one translation has it. You and I have been given this perfect position, but if we begin to trust our heart, we would find ourselves in a far country. You know, the world's got a Christianized part of his country. Did you know that? It looks a lot like the world, but everybody's talking about Jesus and smiling and happy and hopping around. Now, listen, just because something looks good doesn't make it good, okay? A lot of believers struggle a lot with just trying to keep clear in regard to all that is going on in our world today. There's a lot of forces pulling us to the left and to the right. Man, you don't really know where to stand. You don't really know how to be because you're just trying to keep your bearings. Because there are so many different stories around you. Other people have their journeys. Some people are out here a little bit far. You know they're a believer, but man, they're over there playing with something you don't even understand. You're like, wow, I think I'll just stay in this lane right here, in this lane. And that's good. You should stay in the lane. And by the way, you say, well, that's maybe a little stressing. And it's not. The Bible talks about those people in Romans 14. A stronger brother, a weaker brother. One could eat meat offered idols and one couldn't. You know what? When in doubt, don't, right? Paul says, I won't eat meat as long as the earth lasts. If it offends my brother, if it's going to make him stumble. He had a conscience toward idols and meat offered idols. And, you know, so you don't do that. You just don't push people. You and I have a thing called liberty that is governed like a governor on a truck that you're trying to get to go 65 and it can only go 60. You're just like, But we have a governor and the governor is love. We don't go so fast that we hurt people. You know, there's a place you can live right in the middle where it's safe and there's no questions asked. And that's a good place to be. Try to be in the place where no questions are asked because that gets you past all of the sidebar issues and you begin telling about Jesus. Because we are to be, Ephesians 1 says, to the praise of his glory. We're to be, exist, that's what he has us to do, to be to the praise of his glory. He wants us to be. That's the people we are to be. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Of the showing forth of his praises. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.